Amen to love. I love that verse about when I gave you my heart, how I remember that. Today's scripture comes from Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, verses 27 through 31. Listen for the word of God. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In 1747, Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, "Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast. Let every soul be Jesus' guest. Ye need not one be left behind, for God has bid all humankind." Our series continues at the table. And thank you, Conley, for such a wonderful message today to all of us, not just for the children, about something important at the table, namely that all persons are welcome. And this is really what got Jesus into trouble. Jesus was criticized more often for this one reason. He eats with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus was criticized by the Pharisees. Now, Pharisees were the persons who were strict about keeping the law. Their very name meant that they were separated from the persons who did not keep the law. And of course, those who did not keep the law were unclean. They were the sinners. There was another group of people who were despised. Not only were they unclean, but these tax collectors were considered to be traitors to their own people because they took up taxes and took that to the Roman emperor. So the Pharisees criticized Jesus for eating with sinners and tax collectors. And what the Pharisees did was they drew a line in the sand, and it stood as a boundary. On one side, the religious pure, the Pharisees. On the other side, the unclean, the sinners and the tax collectors. And then in Luke's gospel, we see it o'er and o'er again. Jesus has a way of erasing that line in the sand. He has a way about crossing over boundaries. He has a way about breaking down boundaries. And one of the first things Jesus did in his ministry was that he called a fellow by the name of Levi to follow him. Jesus had just called Peter and John and James, and then he saw this tax collector named Levi, also Matthew, and he said, "You right there, come follow me." Now I don't know what it was that propelled Levi to get up and just begin following Jesus. But you see, Jesus always sees into the heart of what people are hungry for. Who knows what Levi was hungry for? But he called Levi, a tax collector, to come follow him. Right there, he was erasing a line in the sand about who he would associate with, about who he would call, about who he would use. And as so often, God sees who we can become. And that's what's important. And so he saw Levi and he said, "Come follow me." And Levi did it. We don't know the pure motivation, but we do know this. He was so delighted that the first thing Levi did was he said, "Let's have a party at my house." And I'm going to invite all my friends. Who were his friends? The other tax collectors, the other sinners. So you got a house full of people. They're having a party. It's messy. And Jesus is there. And he's rejoicing at the party along with Levi and all his friends. And that's where he eats with sinners and tax collectors and gets into trouble. Jesus gets into trouble for that. Well, you see, there's something going on in Jesus' ministry from the very beginning that we need to make clear to all. And that is when Jesus said, "Listen, do you know why I have come? I've come for the people who need me." Now, imagine this. Suppose a doctor would put a sign on his door, "I'll only see the well people," those who are well. Well, we say, "You're not much of a doctor. The doctor's supposed to see us who are not doing so great." And that's why Jesus said, "Listen, do you not know that it's for all persons that I have come, but especially for those who have been placed on the other side of the line?" So Jesus said, "Listen, I've come not to call the righteous, but to call the sinners. There's a gospel feast that's going to go on, and they're the very ones who are invited. So guess what? If you're not a sinner, well, where are you going to eat? Because that's basically who I'm inviting. Persons who know that they need something more." What is that something more? That something more is the grace of God. And so what happens here is that Jesus has a lifestyle of carrying out his ministry, of not saying, "Listen, I'm trying to get a good group of people to go to the temple today to worship." Oh, Jesus went to the temple, and who knows, maybe he invited people to go to the temple with him. But primarily his ministry was about going out to people and eating with them in their homes or wherever they were. Jesus' lifestyle was a lifestyle of the table. And whenever he sat at a table to eat with others, the table was set for others. All were welcome at the table. And so Jesus' table was a means of grace. Jesus' table broke down boundaries. It was a means of grace for all who gathered. What's a good way to understand grace? A good way to understand grace is this. Jesus didn't say, "If you get good enough, you can sit at the table with me." He didn't say that. He said, "I'm going to come to you right where you are and eat with you. And because I am good enough, then you can respond however you choose." Grace comes prior to any response we make. It's God seeking forgiving love, a love that looks for us even when we aren't aware of it. And so what's happening is Jesus is using the table to offer forgiveness and reconciliation and entry into the kingdom of God. And it happens just simply by eating with people. Something happens around the table. You know, something happens around the table, and that's why at the center of our faith is the Lord's table that we gather around. And the new model for the church, I believe, really is the table. Not just what we do here at church gathered around the table, as important as that is, but it's what we do around all the tables that we gather, whether they be at home or out in public. And it's about what we do when we particularly reach out to others, to invite others, could be different from us. But it's about what we do around the table. It's about how we allow the table we are at to become a table of grace, a table of welcome. Come, ye sinners, to the gospel's feast. Jesus was at the house of a well-to-do Pharisee one time. They were having a sumptuous meal. It was a wonderful occasion, certainly for the Pharisee, to have Jesus there. But Jesus said to the host, "Listen, when you give a feast, why don't you think about inviting the poor? Why don't you think about inviting the lame? Why don't you think about inviting the crippled? Why don't you think about inviting the blind? And I can see the Pharisee right now going, well, wait a minute. Invite those folks? Never a thought given to that. But that's what Jesus was always about. Because why? He was about erasing that line in the sand. And he was about having everyone come to the table. The way he did it was by being present, by noticing people, by extending grace, and about showing them the love of God. Because it's only then that people can appropriately respond to the love of God. You know, one of my favorite saints is Saint Francis of Assisi. That guy is, well, he's weird. You really ought to read about his life. I mean, can you believe this guy took the gospel seriously? He did. And it's amazing what God did through this humble servant who just said, you know what? I'm going to take you up on this. I'm going to follow you. And your lifestyle will become my lifestyle, which is the way it's supposed to be. The lifestyle of Jesus should be our lifestyle. The lifestyle of Jesus should be the lifestyle of the church. And so St. Francis was gone one day from the house of the friars in Monte Casella. It was a house of friars. And at the door of this house, there were three notorious thieves who showed up. Well, they were known to be those kinds of people. And of course, they would do as they pleased. They came to the friar's house and they knocked on the door. And the guardian of the house came and said, what are you doing here? And they said, we come here to take some of your food. We're hungry. We come take some of your food. And the guardian said, you need to get out of here and you need to get out of here quick. You're not welcome here. So they probably expected that anyway, and they left. But when St. Francis came back to the house, he said, well, how's it going? And the guardian said, well, you'll never believe it, but these three notorious thieves came to the door, knocked on the door and said, give us some food. We said, no, we know who you are. Get out of here. And St. Francis said, oh, no, you did that. I said, certainly we did that. He said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get some food. I want you to get some bread. I want you to get a big jug of wine. And I want you to go find those three notorious thieves. And I want you to tell them that this is a gift for them. This food and this drink is a gift from them. And they are invited, if they so choose, to come back to our house and be our guests. Well, I don't know who was more confused. The guardian, when he saw the notorious thieves and knew that that was what he was supposed to share, or the thieves scratching their heads going, now what? What is this? But the guardian did what he was supposed to do. You're welcome to come back to the house and be our guest. Please come. The three notorious thieves, I don't know what they thought, but they went. And they were invited back into the house, offered hospitality, again ate and drank, and what? Sat at the table. And there St. Francis and the other friars and the guardian sat. And the three notorious thieves asked, could they stay a little while there at that place? And they stayed a couple of weeks. And before it was over, they chose to stay and become friars themselves. Followers of Jesus Christ, because they saw the lifestyle of Jesus Christ lived out through his followers. And so St. Francis gathered everybody together and said, hey, listen, you know what? This really should be no secret. But we're able to attract more people back to God through kindness than through critical remarks. You see, prior to any response that we've been able to make, God has offered to us kindness. And so that's why one of the most important things we can do is offer that kindness to others. Here's a question I have to ask myself. If that's the lifestyle of Jesus, and that was the lifestyle of Jesus, and if that's the lifestyle of St. Francis, who wanted to be a follower of Jesus, then this should be the lifestyle that I have. And so I asked myself this question, with whom am I eating these days? Who am I inviting to the table? Where do I go to eat with others? And so I have to think about that. And how do I act when I'm at the table with others? Now, the good news is this, is that I know that I'm welcome at the table. And the good news is I know how good the food tastes at God's table. And the good news is that even when I mess up and do things I know I should have known better, I'm continually offered that grace of kindness and forgiveness. And I'm always welcome to the table. I can bring my needs to the table. I know the good news. I know how good the good news is because I know what it's meant for me. I've got a reason to live, you see. Now, since I know how good it is, that ought to be my motivation for sharing it with others. Because I want others to taste and see that God is good. Taste and see and know that I am God. So, today, the simple invitation is simply this. First of all, do you need some kindness? Perhaps it's been a rough week. Perhaps it's been a rough month. Perhaps it's been a rough year. And you just need a little kindness. And Polly and I will pray a prayer over you, praying the favor of God's kindness over you, that you may experience whatever it is you need to be made whole again, that you may taste and see that the God loves you. Perhaps you've messed up. God's favor of forgiveness. Come, we will pray over you. And then also, the invitation is this. Come to say, God, I want you to use me to offer that kindness to others. That's the invitation today. Before you come, I feel led, though, to have a special prayer right now. And this is kind of an offer of kindness. But before the service, I ran into a member here, James, who said, William, do you know about this need? A football player at Jordan High School, where I used to go, where I played, was badly injured in the football game this past Friday night. His neck was broken. They ended the game. He was carried off on a stretcher. His name is Massey, Brandon Massey. And I think it would be good if we had a prayer for Brandon Massey right now. His father is the head football coach at Shaw University, where James is at too. His father's name is Robert. And perhaps we could just practice some of this kindness now by offering up a prayer for this person. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for James who shared with me this need. And now, Lord, we do offer up Brandon Massey to you for healing, for his family, especially for his father and Robert. And surround them with people who will help care for them, and may he recover from this bad injury. And may, Lord, you take something bad that happened and draw people closer together across the races, across all kinds of lines, and help us just to see ourselves as one big family today, that when one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. But right now, Lord, we do pray for your healing blessings to be upon Brandon. Thank you so much for James who brought that to our attention. In Jesus' name, amen. Some kindness. Let us stand.